This is Triple M's Rush Hour, thanks to Bluebet. Get around Bluebet's all-new AFL Same Game Stat Wars. Download today. What are you really gambling with?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
This moron number one.
You might need a humour. Ectomy.
Oh, put moron number two on the phone.
We expected nothing better than that.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
Oh, how good do you feel?
Great.
Sun's shining. We've got Anzac Eve coming tonight at the Triple MCG. What are you looking at?
25.3.
25 degrees, of course.
In the house.
Damien Barrett not far away. Talking footy.
Was he
forward to that? I've been over at Liv.
I know.
And something's caught my eye.
Has it?
Weird. Just weird. And then we have a look at Anzac Day. Rosie Walton has a look at the great Barry Humphries.
Yes.
Then we speak to Harry Grant. I'm going to say this. I want you to listen.
Righto.
He's leading the Dally M.
The Brownlow.
Of Rock the League.
Well, that's the Brownlow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Rock the League.
Yeah. You sure? Would you know that?
He's leading, I'm sure.
All right.
You sure?
Yes, I'm bloody sure he's in the league.
Yes.
So, Fat.
Yeah.
We look forward to speaking to Harry as well.
Yeah. We're going up half cock.
You are, get a real ordinary joke, and then we head off to the footy.
It's a tomato sauce joke.
Oh, it won't be. And now, g'day, old V-neck.
A V-neck.
Very. Brought his pyjamas in today, Fat.
Well, I was a bit tired. Slept in. Big weekend. Not as big as you, obviously, over there with the aviators on.
I drank Leishman Lager. I've got smart, finally.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Why do you have to wear aviators?
Like this.
No, but ex-cricketers, when they're waiting for planes in the airport
I was out in the open watching the golf.
Like fool's heads.
Watching the golf is what I was doing with sunglasses on like everyone else.
Look at me.
All right, pyjamas.
Hello, wine.
Handball over the top here. Here it comes, Lovett. He's found the target.
Zaharakis.
An opportunity for Zaharakis. He's made for goal. Zaharakis has kicked it. Zaharakis has kicked the goal. Yes, he has hit the front.
Jesus.
Pains me to play that.
How good.
Osaka. And pushed as he kicked too, which gave it extra impetus.
Did that? Impetus. Mm. Good word.
Thank you, Bill.
Good word. Extra impetus, that was, Ryan, because he pushed him when he kicked it and went through.
Good word.
All right. Oh, looking forward to that tomorrow. Can you believe the teams aren't out yet?
No.
So we'll ask Damien.
Closest,
he might have.
We'll ask Purple. Closest it's been for a long time, this game.
As you mean, on the ladder.
Well, on the ladder, but also just the teams in good form, both
Very
of them.
Good so form, Jim. Good thinking.
All right.
What?
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Hurry up, Bill, and get to the rap.
It's Billy's All Sports Report. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Builders Academy, legends making legends.
Bill. Legends making legends. I don't want to stand on Damo's toes.
No, well, don't then.
But the teams would be nice just to have a look at.
Right.
A couple of injuries and concussion. Took Miller, Jim.
Yeah, saw that.
Hurt his knee, so Damo will be all over that.
He'll be all over that. Yeah.
And Robbie Fox, delayed concussion.
Jeez, how bad are they going?
It was a big collect by Mitchy Duncan. Yeah. It was a clean. I thought it was fair.
Right.
But they're going to lose another key defender because they already had the McCartans out and Dane Rampey out last Saturday night. And if they lose him, wowee, they won't have any numbers. And I'll tell you what is good, too, about the clubs and players coming around to the dangerous tackles and concussion, Damo, because both clubs, I believe, have taken the 1 week. They're not going to appeal.
Right.
So I like that.
Right.
Live Golf. Now tell us about it. And who is Taylor Gooch?
Taylor Gooch, American player. Was 20 under after two rounds.
So he shot 62.
And was about 10 shots in front.
And only one by?
Came home in an ambulance. One by three in the end.
Three.
But it was, Bill, I'm telling you, everyone in this room will end up going over there before long.
Oh.
It was the most fun. It's halfway between a rock concert and a sporting event.
Well, certainly was at the watering hole when Chase Koepka stepped up and did this.
Chase Koepka, 12. The watering hole, he's posing.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Chase Koepka.
Oh! There it is!
We promised you an ace on 12, and Chase Koepka has delivered!
The joint went mad.
Oh, ridiculous. I wasn't there at that stage, sadly. Oh. I got there about 20 minutes later. Oh, but, Bill, I went and quickly saw Orms afterwards because I was heading out, and he said, come and quickly have a beer. So I dropped in, had one beer with him, and as I was standing there, Wade Ormsby I'm talking about is an old mate of mine, this little bloke walks past.
Yes.
And Orms goes, Chase, meet a mate of mine, James Brayshaw, Chase Koepka. I went, hole in one.
The hole in one man.
He goes, yes, that's me. And I said to him, what do you get? You know, because often they get a car. Yeah. Or he goes, drenched. That's all he got.
He said he smelt like beer for the rest of the game. It was unbelievable, Jim. And you met him.
Oh, well, g'day, mate. Well, I'm not saying he and I are best mates, but he's not a big man. Only small.
Little.
Yeah, and he said Bill's jokes are crap.
So, you know, Graham Gooch, you know what he won, cool, Jim?
Taylor Gooch, yep.
Graham Gooch.
5.97 million, Jim. 5.97. And old Gucci would have never won a quarter of that.
No, that's his biggest payday by far. That he deserved it after those first two rounds.
The best Australian, Cam Smith. 6 under 66 on Sunday to finish 16 under, Jim.
Yes. And I reckon it's a brilliant thing. They're going to have another one, they're saying, up in Queensland. So they're going to have two in Australia.
Well, it says here South Australia is locked in to host Live event for the next 4 years. Yep. Next four. So they got Gather Round and Live. They're going to rock.
I saw old Spiro Malinauskas, our man. He has got a grin like a split watermelon fat. Yes. There were 45, 50,000 people there.
So he should.
Well, I agree. He's a genius. I love the way he goes
and
about
and then trying to find room for one more tournament in either Queensland, New Zealand, or somewhere in Asia.
Oh, nice. Righto. I like it.
Wow. Good, Bill.
It's here to stay. Good,
Bill. Hey, some cricket update here.
How's that good on for you, Bill?
I don't know. Yep. Rob Herbert sent me this because I didn't see this. The cricket card, the scorecard, Jim, when Marcus Harris played for who he plays for over there.
Don't say anything. Who?
The Marcus Harris.
He plays for one of the counties. Can't even say it. How do you say that, Damien?
Dano's not here yet.
He's not here yet. You can't ask him how to say something.
Well, mister. Oh, anyway.
Well, mister.
Took on Worcestershire. I can say that.
All right, okay.
But the second innings, I didn't know this. Marcus Harris caught Cox bowled Tongue.
Oh, my God.
So the bowler is Josh Tongue, who took 3 for 27.
What's wrong with him?
And Benny Cox is the wicketkeeper, Jim.
Right.
Interesting.
What's the county he plays for? I'm trying to work it out.
Gloucestershire.
That's all it is.
Just say that.
Well, I tell you, speaking of which, I watched a bit of the IPL last night.
It's not Lillian Marsh, no, Damien. It's Cox and Tongue.
And Glenn Maxwell made 70 off about 40, 35 balls, pumping them everywhere, Bill. Just landing them 40 rows back.
He's got a goal. He made 70, golden duck,
golden,
and then.
And 70. Jeez, you hit him clear.
Hey, what about Wrexham?
Yes.
We spoke about this a while ago. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McInnell Henny, they bought the club for $2.5 million, Jim. They won. They've been promoted to the fourth tier. 10,000 people there. They had a great win, and they are champions.
Champions! Wrexham are promoted. They have their storybook ending. You've just seen tens of thousands of dreams come true. Their football league exile is over. Wow. 15 long years.
The crowd was full. It was fantastic. So well done to those two there. Vixens were beaten by the Swiss by 1 point.
Yes.
Good game, Matt. And the Magpies play Sunshine Coast Lightning tomorrow. Right. Anzac Day game at 1 p.m. But hang on, Jim.
More, some more, more, more.
Local footy.
Oh, no.
The Tyab Yabbies.
The Yabbies.
You got to do this when you say it.
No, the Yabbies.
That's the Yabbies.
Right, okay.
They had a big week. They've already changed the coach after round two.
Oh.
He got the lemonade, Jim. And old was replaced by Havo and Foxy.
Yeah.
And they've come out and smashed Hastings by 78 points on the weekend. Well done there. And Belgrave. I told you about Belgrave on. They haven't won for four years.
Did you get a tip off that they were going to win?
I knew, Jim.
Oh, did you? Yes. You knew.
No. Yeah. After 1,449 days, the Belgrave Magpies had a win in the Outer East Footy League. Getting up against Hallam, they won by 14 points. And here's their song. Well done.
Still more.
Still more.
How have we got that on our show?
This show goes into four states, and we just played a local team
Belgrade.
Singing a song.
Get a lot of callers from Belgrade out there, Jimmy Boyd. Yeah, first win in 1,449 days, and well done to Hamo, the coach.
Well done, Hamo. Yes. Well, time for a break. We've got
Lily
Purple coming up.
Caught Willie Bold Dilly. Remember that?
Yes, I do remember.
Yes. Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy. You know what happened to me, Jim?
What?
I ran out of shampoo.
Oh!
There's still two games to go in round six, but Damien Barrett's in the studio to chat so far.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Welcome to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. Bill, Rabsy, and 175,000 people going to the same venue over tonight and tomorrow afternoon.
Well, it's interesting. As we were just discussing, I've just been in Adelaide, and a couple of people said to me, I have to get over to see the Anzac Day game. And I said to them, yes, you do, because it is extraordinary. But don't miss the night before. Mm. It's not as good, but it ain't far behind.
Well, it's got its own appeal, doesn't it, in terms of the lighting and the darkness that combines beautifully to, you know, to symbolise what this day is all about. And I agree with you. I feel it's become, look, it's not as important, but it's the next rung down, isn't it, to it? And it's been a huge part of the whole AFL world when it comes to Anzac Day.
Have you seen the ins and outs, by the way? In Lever, gone, Michael Hibbert. Out, Tomlinson omitted, Charlie Spargo injured, Melcham omitted, and Tom McDonald omitted, who was pretty good a couple
of weeks
ago.
And they've already had their hit-outs in the VFL on the weekend. So
there's no change there.
No changes,
and then Short in for the Tigers.
Massive in for the Tigers, isn't
it?
Short.
Sonsi is omitted, and Ralph Smith omitted.
Yeah, look, Gawn's the big one who's missed the 4 weeks with that knee injury that at one stage was jeopardising his and Melbourne's season. But again, it's no surprise once he got the all clear from it being the extreme problem of what he did, he just rushed back with his own work. So he's back in. And Oliva, from a team balance perspective, is equally as crucial coming back into that team tonight. And I'm not the world's best tipster. I'm far from it. In fact, I'm regularly bad at it. But I just can't see a way Richmond can beat
Melbourne. The difference it makes for Melbourne when they get their back six set is they're a totally different team to play against. They still haven't got Salem back there, but the rest of them are back involved, and Lever and May playing in the same team is an enormous difference to how you play against Melbourne.
And they want to bounce back after last week's effort also. They will.
They will. And then you've got tomorrow's game, which, Bill, as you said, without the teams yet being official, Craig McRae yesterday, Collingwood coach, revealed that Nathan Kruger would play. And that's despite him also having a very severe interruption injury-wise with a shoulder. But last week played in the VFL for 3 disposals and 5 hit-outs. And on top of all of that, Jim, was required to train solo this week because of a continuation of a virus that has gone through Collingwood. Jordan Ngoi missed last week's game because of it. The captain, Darcy Moore's, also had it. So far
not
from ideal.
COVID.
But
it's not COVID.
No, it's just just a virus of sorts or an illness of sorts. They just want to quarantine him as best they can. But clearly, and that a selection is on the basis of they're coming up against Draper and Phillips, who combined so well last week to defeat Melbourne.
It is the best, Nick. I just said this before, that those two teams have been in coming into this game for a long time. So it's great.
Yeah, it is.
100,000 people and two teams that are up and about.
It's so exciting in that regard. And Bill, you just got an update there on one we were waiting for the update on.
Tuke Miller, who's going to miss a fair portion of footy. That's all they could say. So
that's
sure.
An official release from the Suns.
That's from the Suns. Yeah.
Suffered a lateral meniscus tear in his left knee.
Okay. Yeah. Stu said last night he would miss some weeks. Mm. And what is it? Large
a fair portion of footy.
That's a worry, isn't it?
Well, that's for people who are old. That's cartilage.
Yeah.
But what they do now is if you get a bad enough split in it, they sew it back up again. They used to just rip it out, but then you had bone on bone, couldn't walk when you're 45. So now they actually surgically repair it, but it then takes a long time.
Some time to do it.
To heal once done. So that's not good news for them because he's their best player.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was. And they got a much needed win against North Melbourne yesterday. We'll touch on that soon. But the big winner out of the 7 completed games of round 6 was St Kilda, I felt, yesterday with what they did against Carlton. They're yet to concede beyond 74 points, and that was against Essendon in round 3. And to think that is the most they've conceded, it's in keeping with Ross Lyon. And they just strangled Carlton yesterday, didn't they? With the way they set themselves up and just ran away with it, basically. And while Carlton sort of kept hanging in there, they were never going to retrieve the deficit. And I just want to put to you, Jim, is it possible that Ross Lyon's a better coach now without the established stars in his stable? I mean, we saw what he did with established stars at St Kilda initially and then Fremantle, and he had the legitimate greats of those two clubs under his watch. I don't think he's got greats under his watch right now, and yet the resourcefulness with which he's been required to operate under, yep. I think we might be seeing the true the genius of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're going to get better at any job you do the more you do it.
Yeah.
And I'd agree with you. I think it was a genius move to get him back, and he is proving how good he is.
And he will get one who could be in that bracket down the track in Max King at some stage soon. And
who else is out that they... Because now you look at that team, you go, how are they going to come in?
Well, Memory's back.
He's back. Yeah.
Billings is one you'd think once he's up and running. And I know he was in and out of the team under the previous coach at times last year, but you'd think he would be back in.
Cohesion is the word that they're all using, Jim. Exactly what Freo have not
Don't
got.
Don't have.
Yes.
Yeah.
But St Kilda have. And they're playing for one another. They're playing for Ross. They're playing for themselves.
Yeah.
It's good fun to watch.
I mean, Brad Crouch looked gone at various stages, didn't he, for the latter time at Adelaide and for his early foray through his time at St Kilda. Yeah. But he's gone back to being that player who was drafted, you know, number 2, 3, 4, whatever it was, by Adelaide all those years ago.
Speaking of Adelaide, 4 in a row.
Yeah, you've got to give them full marks. Now, I know some people say that the most recent one of those games was a steal, and it was, with the brilliance of Rankin and Fogarty, Bill, who you were talking about off-air being the best set shot. Kick in the game.
Well, Jeremy Cameron's not bad, but Fogarty, that one on the boundary when they needed it, and even the coach said we thought he was going to snap it, and he just went back and kicked the normal drop punt. But then Texan, he kicked 4. He's flying, the Tex.
Yeah.
And even Rory.
Mad Mate Sloan.
He was good in that last
really
quarter.
Really good, yeah.
And then they got these kids.
Yep. And look, that's all kicked off for them since they dominated the last quarter of the showdown game. Right. And they've won that game and the three since. And, yeah, they're sort of a nice little roll. That was a game that they could have easily lost yesterday. They didn't. And they'll get the benefit out of being able to critique it in a negative way, but with the solace of having 4 premiership points to do so.
What about Jordan Dawson? I don't think anyone expected him to be, one, nearly captain, but then the way he's been playing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's almost if they held him back from the midfield role that he's now overtaken. Jeez. And again, Bill, I'm a massive fan of what Darren Burgess has done at a couple of footy clubs, particularly Melbourne in 2021, as the fitness and high performance man on the books. And then went to Adelaide last year. He's had a year in the system. I've got no doubt that him being at that club has helped Dawson becoming the player. Now, he's got the talent and they've identified it by recruiting him and making him captain. But I think the layers to his game.
And the kids that he's got fit. Pedler,
Saligo. Yep.
All these kids are just, they're playing really good footy.
They've got a very brutal month ahead. They've got Collingwood, St Kilda, Geelong, and Western Bulldogs at Ballarat.
That's a brutal month.
They will find out a bit about themselves then. But four in a row.
Yeah, their best will, if they can get through that patch with the 2-2 score, then I think they'll be pretty happy.
We need to go to a break.
One more positive.
No, we can't do that, Fat. We're running out of time. Sucked in. more with Domo next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Did you brand yourself in the last break information brownless?
Knowledge.
Knowledge brownless.
Knowledge brownless.
Damo has stuck around. JB, still plenty more to talk about in terms of footy.
Charlie Cameron, we're going to quickly bowl over a couple more positives.
Yeah, there's 7 goals he kicked. Every time there's a challenge of in this small forward space, and Tom Papley, your man Jim, is clearly one of them. Tyson Stengel last year, Bill.
Yep.
He just continues to remind us. I mean, he's an All-Australian in the past, and I think he's tracking to be that person again this year. And he's got some tricks, doesn't he?
Oh.
And
out the back. Is he the quick? I know. Who is the quickest? Paps or Charlie?
Charlie gets can put the afterburners on when he's going toward goal.
Like when he's over the back.
Like a good small forward can. Yeah.
And now, any other positives?
Yeah, we better get to Geelong. I'm still.
Josiah Pickett, by the way, is pretty good at putting the afterburners on.
Look, we're obviously beating Hawthorn, then West Coast, and then a absolutely demoralised by way of available player Sydney Swans on the weekend. I still don't know what's going on, but maybe it just doesn't matter. They've got their act back, haven't they, Bill? And you don't.
The star, I said it up the other night. Dangerfield's attack on the ball from the first bounce, hard as a cat's head. He was fantastic. Then obviously Jezzar and Tomahawk's back, and then the role players. like Close and all those boys.
Atkins was back, wasn't Atkins. He, after a slowish start.
Yes, yep. Gary Rowan, he's chased down. Yep. Just little, they all chip in when they have to. So, and good to be home with the unfurling of the flag.
Oh, yeah, and this construction site to the left-hand side of the
just
stadium.
Just a few little problems there. We'll sort them out.
Bontempelli too, Marcus
Sam
Bontempelli.
Simpson, sorry, Narrows boy.
Big Narrow.
Kicked the first goal
after 600 days out.
600, well done to little Narrow.
Yep. He didn't let on last year, Jim, as to how banged up he was with a foot injury initially, other injuries, and just lingering illness that he curtailed his progress last year. Still finished fourth in the best and fairest. He's back now, and I still reckon he's the best in the comp.
On baller, absolutely.
Yeah. And he's flying again.
Trelaw's going well too, isn't he?
Trelaw had a
nice little
game
Batman
weekend.
Robin there.
Better get to the negatives, though,
yes,
I reckon.
Get there.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll focus on the Coleman Medal winner of 2021 as part of the Carlton negative conversation here, that being Harry Mackay, Charlie Curnow, the 2022 Coleman medalist. But 9 goals, 8 for the year from 23 shots at goal. 4 of those 9 goals came against North Melbourne on the Good Friday day. So, again, weigh all that up. A couple of moments yesterday were really poor. They're momentum-sucking occasions, aren't they, Bill, particularly with what happened in the third quarter. When they were getting the ball in, and he had 2 shots in a matter of a minute and didn't look likely on either. And
hit the belly.
You've just got to be better than that when you are that person. I do, though, wonder, the common medal status to which he has, it came on the back of a 58-goal season. Now, that's not a lot of goals when it comes to historical common medal winners. So maybe the title he's got and the status he's got is forcing us to judge him harshly right now in a way that we may not have otherwise.
But he still clunks it and he gets it a fair bit.
Yeah, yes, they want him to have it, they do, if you're a Blues
supporter.
Speaking
of that, what about yesterday? Chera, 39, Walsh, 38, Akers, 36, Cripps, 34, Hewitt, 29, Newman, 28. Then the first St Kilda player was Sinclair with 27. So you got all that ball, these Carlton, where's it going?
Not
sideways or backwards.
Not efficiently forward, anyway.
No, exactly. Yeah. Weird.
The two Perth teams are now a genuine concern.
Yeah.
Look, West Coast barely can field a team. They're down to 23, 24, 25. And I do question, though, the impact that those out are going to have if and when they come back. I mean, McGovern has still got footy left in him, but I feel it's over the edge when it comes to what was his best. Nat Nui, again, I don't know when he's going to return, but he's going to be so out of condition if he does return.
Elliot Yeo again.
Shuey went down on the weekend with an ankle this time, Bill.
Ankle.
He came back into the team and went down with it, subbed out with an ankle. So, again, on top of all the soft tissues he's got, Ryan's got a soft tissue. Cripps is out with an ankle that he's got as well. And, Dom Sheed is also on that injury list. You just don't know how they're going to make massive impact if and when they do come back.
Yeah.
So another long season for them. And across town too, the Dockers are in a spot of bother, given they've only beaten a banged-up West Coast in the Derby and were lucky the way the game was unfolding to beat Gold Coast in round 5 at Norwood Oval only 2 weeks ago.
So they've got to find a forward, don't they? And I don't know how or where they get one or two.
Well, they're not going to get one from outside their list.
No, they've got to give something up or do something.
What, you're talking about next year?
Next year.
List management.
Yes.
Another 18 games to get through, whatever
they've just
was.
Got no one.
No, they don't. And
no connection.
I like Jai Amos, but he's not ready to be the main man there. And Tabin are going down. I mean, you do need to factor in the injuries they've got. But he's been on the list now for 10 years and again, hasn't yet fully taken a season over.
But
they could do with him.
We spoke about this, Purple, the other day. They've got to get much more proactive. They're playing a very reactive brand of footy for me.
They are.
They're basically just trying to hold rather than actually aggressively take their game into games of footy. So I'm sure they would have addressed that and get that right. They have to.
This may not be a surprise to some, but after the opening to the season that North Melbourne had with wins over West Coast and Fremantle, and let's maybe factor that into the two wins they did have, losses now since to Hawthorn, Carlton, Brisbane and Gold Coast, and they're becoming quite messy again in this still short time frame that Alistair Clarkson has had in charge.
So what will be worrying, Clark, I haven't spoken to him, but what would be worrying him is how easily scored against they've been in the last 2 weeks. I think the Brisbane Lions had 30 or 42 scoring shots in that game, and then on the weekend the Gold Coast had nearly 30.
Yep.
So that's a worry. When you're starting to get opened up, going the other way.
Yeah.
That was the thing I think all North Melbourne and footy fans liked in the first month was they were holding up defensively, but that's 2 very bad weeks. So I'm sure the little master will be going to work to work out how they can start defending better.
Yeah, but the hold your position and man the ground is just not working, as you said, Jim. And again, we touched on this a moment ago, but I'm just really keen to see what Richmond does do tonight. They've only got the 6 premiership points to this point of the season. I just cannot see how they can even be competitive against Melbourne in terms of can they win the game of footy. So, yeah, for them to come out of the first 6 rounds with just a win and a draw, and I'm factoring in a loss in this conversation, but they're it's not unfolding for them the way they had planned, given the recruitment of Hopper and Taranto was met.
They haven't played the game yet.
And that's a really good point, Jim. But so it's a watch this space on the Tigers.
All right. So are we sending buses anywhere, or what's?
Yeah.
Oh. You weren't going to, were you?
Well, we brought them back to gather round, but we now need to send them back over the Nullarbor across to one of your former hometowns.
That one's not going to make it across the Nullarbor.
We'll get it there. It's been everywhere, Bill. It's the old compy van, and it'll get across there. We need to have a look at what West Coast and Fremantle are doing. They're the big problems at the moment.
Can Jezza kick 100, yes or no?
Yep.
We can. Whether he's going to, I don't know, but yes, he could.
The extra game helps immensely in this. Yeah. 23
games.
Plus 3 finals if they go through, you know, a double chance through the final series, and quite possibly a fourth final if they lose the first one.
Nice to see you, Purple. Thanks for dropping in.
See you, boys. Enjoy the next 2 days.
That was Damo's recovery session.
Damo's in. Thanks to Builders Academy. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au. You can also hear him as part of tomorrow's coverage of Anzac Day.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Oh, you bloody old boring man.
Oh!
Melbourne Storms, Harry Grant and Bills 5 at 5:05 still to come. But JB, Bill and I are very envious of you because yesterday you were at the final day of the LIV Golf Tournament in Adelaide.
It is nuts. We all talk about people having to go over for Gather Round, and they should.
Yeah.
Because that was brilliant. That's then the next week they had LIV and it was nuts. They're very lucky with the weather. 3 beautiful days. Yesterday was superb.
Yep.
But Bill.
And the watering hole.
So they're set up everywhere, the stands, like normal golf, but this has got like funk music playing the whole time.
So even
so
when
you feel like you're in a disco.
When they tee off or they go quiet then?
Absolutely, all the other holes. So it's not just the watering hole, they call it. There's music all around the course.
Yeah.
And it's just like that sort of low-grade disco music that you hear, you know, playing in
sort of
shops.
You can see the beat in the background.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's everywhere. And the fans were literally jammed into every hole.
So where did you go? Did you
started on the 18?
Yeah,
because you could get to pretty close to the green most of the players. So they were playing these beautiful little 40-meter wedges in.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched about an hour of that and had a couple of beers.
Good.
And then we said, right, we've held off long enough. We're going into the. I think we were in the cellar door, which is one of the marquees in the gather in the watering hole.
Yeah.
So in we go, Bill. And we had the Ripper fans down in front of us. So the Aussie team of the Rippers.
Oh, yes.
And there was about 15 blokes in their red tops. And they were wearing, they were the fan club for the Rippers.
Right.
And Bill, Rippers. Were they having a good time? My goodness.
They got
their
them.
Eye in early.
Good.
But good boys.
Yeah.
But by the end of the day, out came the shoey.
Mm.
Over and over and over again, they're filling their shoes up and sculling it.
Who was? Everyone.
The Rippers. This the group Rippers, of boys. Yeah. So Leash finishes on 12.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're the voice. They're playing for Leash. He's trying to putt. And they're giving it the, whoa. It was properly hilarious. Yeah. Anyway, he finishes. Mm. They demand a shoey out of him. So Leash wanders over and tips one in.
His own golf shoe.
No, I don't know whose shoe it was. I reckon it was one of the Rippers.
Oh, so it wasn't one of his.
And then Bluey, who was attached to this same marquee, he goes down and has a shoey.
Come on, Bluey.
And I ask this question.
Yes.
Who in the world thought it was a good idea to drink beer out of a shoe a bloke's had on all day?
Not your own shoe. Someone else's.
These blokes, and they're presenting their shoe saying, who wants to be next? I'm thinking that's disgusting. I put it in the same category as the handkerchief.
The handkerchief.
Well, Bill, who thinks repeatedly snotting into a piece of cloth and putting it back into your pocket's a good idea?
Well, at least it's yours and it's in your pocket.
Well, that's it. That's the
and
only
it's your
good bit about
goobies.
It's still got your goobies in your pocket.
But it's in your pocket.
I don't care. No, it's disgusting.
Someone else's shoe, Jim. I'm with you.
These are tissues. I'll just have one of them and use that.
Well, you don't carry a box of tissues around.
Well, you should if you're going to snot everywhere. Or you vaping. Should.
Vaping, like, or dropping your pants for Eagle Rock. That's become a bit of a thing.
But that's just you being stupid. This is, like, disgusting. I put your brain and your heart are the most important organs you have.
Well, I know.
But I'm
one other one.
I'm putting lungs third.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Well, if you bugger them up, you're gone. Oh,
you got to breathe. What about?
If you don't have a dude, you're going to stay alive. The other three are vital
is
to survival.
Worth
and yet
staying
putting
alive?
Gas into your lungs makes no sense to me at all.
I would have gone dude up at one or two.
Well, that just shows.
But you know what it is, Jim? It's a motorsport type thing, isn't it? Because we've seen it with Jack Miller, MotoGP, the Aussie.
Mm.
And then we've seen it with Davey Reynolds.
Danny Rick, of course.
So it's all those.
Well, where did it start? Like, here's all right. We've got a question here. 1-3-3-5-3 Oh, we got a little bit of time. If you know where the shoey originated, because Bill, I know Danny Rick's been doing it for a while, and our man Davey Reynolds, but they've just picked up on it.
They have.
Didn't start.
It's not theirs.
There.
No.
No. So where did? Who was the first person that thought here's a good idea? I'm going to take my shoe off, fill it with beer and drink it. I want to know the answer to that. If anyone knows, we'll have a nice prize for you. 1-3-3-5-3 Ring us if you know who started the shoey.
Here they come.
Luke Shoey?
No.
No.
But not bad. Not bad, Luke Shoey.
1-3-3-5-3 Who started the shoey? It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Bill, we don't want to make it all about us.
No, Jim, we don't, but...
we're going to.
Right now, JB, you're asking.
Yeah, where's the bloody shoey, like the original shoey?
Yes, exactly.
Brad Rochester. Hello, Bradford. Brad.
Yeah, good day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, where'd the shoey start?
I reckon it was from Rod Stewart. I reckon about 30-odd years ago, I swear I saw him drinking champagne out of a stiletto.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
That's going back.
That is.
And he would have started it too, Rockin' Rod.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's like that. Stay there, Bradford.
Stiletto, Jim.
Pete, Melbourne.
Hello, Pete from Melbourne.
G'day, Jimmy. Fat. How you going?
We're good, thanks.
The shoey, where did it start?
Approximately about 20 years ago, at least. I've seen boys at Danny Muster and BNS Balls. They're all doing it to christen their new cowboy boots.
Oh, the old Danny Muster.
That's the Australian arm of it. And then Davey Reynolds picked up on it and Jack Miller. And then Daniel Ricciardo took it international. And Formula One actually put a copyright on it. So nobody else could copyright it.
You can't copyright it.
Many years ago.
Wow. All right, stay there, Pete. I like that. We might just get back to Fee in a sec. We've got a Trish in Rye.
Yes.
Hello, Trish.
Hey, how you going?
Good, Trish. How did the shoey start?
Well, we were at the pub one night, and my friend Joey, just who was infamous for her toe jam.
Oh, no.
Just decided, just out of the blue, to take a Blundstone off and dare a friend of ours to drink beer out of it.
Not when she's got the jam.
21 years ago.
Righto.
What pub?
And, so this bloke, Michael M, took the bed on and drank the toe jam in the beer.
Oh, no. We don't need to be, righto.
Trisha's friend started it,
Brad, apparently Brad in Bunyip. Hello, Brad.
Hey, JB, Billy, how's things,
good,
boys?
Good, Bradley.
You, the shoey?
That is the go. So I reckon it started with a fella by the name of Ryle Harris, who's a super ute driver.
Right.
He did it up on the podium first. Then Davey Reynolds got hold of it.
Yeah,
he did it. He's even admitted later that he stole it from Ryle.
Oh,
right. Then Danny Rick did it. Jack Miller did it. Yeah. And the rest of the world's done it after that.
All right. Well, fair enough.
That's my take anyway.
Righto. That's good.
Okay. And Fee from Mary Gunn was ringing to say Davey Reynolds as well. So. All right. I think there might be an origin pre that.
No, there is, Jim.
Well, quick, because we need to get to the...
Professor Brownless. So during World War One, the German soldiers were said to pass around their leather boots filled with beer to bring good luck before the battle.
So we go all the way back to World War One.
World War One, and the German soldiers did it, Jim, bring good luck.
Righto. Well, I like Brad from Rochester. He gets something because anyone that brings Rod Stewart into this show deserves a prize.
An official AFL Udi in the team of your choice, only available from theudi.com.
All right. Nicely done. Nice answering, family.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Jim, I need a spell.
Yeah, I think you
mentally
do.
Zapped.
Do you?
Yes, mentally. I've got no more brain left.
Exhausted. Big second hour coming up, Fat.
What do you got?
Head of the Daily M medal count as we speak.
How do you know?
I just, rabbits told me.
Right. It's public knowledge, Bill.
His name's Harry Grant, by the way.
They actually have the count sort of out in the open until about three quarters of the way through.
One.
Then it's in camera. Now, Bill. So he's coming up.
Two.
We reflect on the magnificent life of Dame Edna.
Yes.
Stroke Les Patterson. Stroke Barry Humphries.
Yes.
With Hose.
Yes.
Come in and tell us about that.
That'll be nice.
But now it's time for some founded fan.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Bizarre. It's Billy's unique look at the other side of footy.
Very good today, Jim.
And we haven't done it yet.
No, it is. Yes.
I'd have a late edition.
Get it right. I'll have a late edition at 5:07. Not too bad, Rabsy, there. And it's a good 5:05 this week.
Get it right.
And we might start it off.
What's at number five, Fat?
Fantastic night down at GMHBA Stadium Saturday night. The unfurling of the Premiership flag. And I love what Hammer and Das were talking about.
And you can't underestimate, when you look into these stands here, how this football club shapes this community. The ground has changed, the club has changed, the facilities have changed. The success that comes with the Geelong Football Club almost permeates into the region.
It does, doesn't it? The whole wealth and health of the community, as you said, the Hammer. And you go back to that great era, the Gary Abbott Sr. and Billy Brownless and Barry Stoneham and all those great names, Paul Couch, a Brownlow Medal winner, had played in those four grand finals but didn't quite get it done. And it was this next generation that have taken Geelong into the stratosphere. And they deserve to celebrate. It's been a phenomenal time.
Well said. That didn't get it done. No, that's what I heard.
Well said. Yeah.
I just heard the group of people that didn't get it done.
Did you say that?
That's them.
Yeah. I just heard my name.
No, I didn't.
Next.
How about number four, Bins?
Stevie J is not quite right, Jim. And I've known this for a while.
He's one of your best mates.
I know, but he's not quite right.
Oh, right.
No. And he was supposed to work, what, yesterday? Sunday it was for Triple M?
Sunday rub.
He got to Marvel Stadium, but he couldn't get to the coach's box or the commentary box. He was down in the stands.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know, Stephen.
We got a text message 20 minutes ago
that
he was stuck outside a goods lift. Then we saw him down behind the benches at Marvel Stadium.
He couldn't get to the box.
Still hasn't found his way. How hard is it?
It's not that hard.
He got lost in the car park at the MCG the other week, and now he's called us and said, I can see you guys, and he was in the stands.
He's actually just walked into the box. Yes. Stevie Johnson, three-time Premiership star, Norm Smith medalist. Have a look at him.
G'day, boys.
What up?
Now, I'm hitching my caravan on about 10 security staff in this building getting stuck.
Stephen. He's in the goods lift, the car park, the stands. Just couldn't find the commentary box.
No,
come on, Stephen.
It's not that hard.
No.
To find?
No, it's not.
What's at number three, Cocko?
Jeremy Cameron. What a star. He can do everything at the moment. Jim kicked goals. He's a farmer. He loves his golf. And he was talking to his three-week-old daughter. Three-week-old daughter, Macy, who was actually sound asleep. And have a listen to Jezza talking about his day of golf.
Yes, I was going all right. I was on like 34 points or something and going down the 16th. I've made up and down for a bogey, which you take that. I had a shot on my handicap, but then rolling around to the par 5, 17th, I just said, you know what? I'm going to take it on. I'm going to get the big stick out, the TaylorMade, and whack it across the water. And you should have seen where I hit it. Oh my God, it would have went 348 metres down there. Ended up making par, but yeah, we move on. 5 for 3.
He's 5 for 3.
He's talking to Maisie. He's 3 weeks old, sound asleep.
Yeah.
He's
put it asleep.
He did put it asleep. Yes.
Give us number two, Smack.
Oh, the Roma. The roaming Brian. He caught up with Aaron Norton's dad on Friday night.
He did.
Had a mullet. Looks like a
ferocious mullet.
And guess what his name is, Jim? Wayne. Wayne Norton.
Wayne Norton.
And he barracks, believe it or not, he doesn't barrack for the Western Bulldogs.
Shoot the wide vision here, and you tell me which one is Aaron Norton's dad. Yeah, you guessed it. Have a look at this. I think it's Wayne. Wayne, how are you, mate? Thank you.
How are you, mate?
Appreciate your time. Thank you very much. You must be pretty proud of the young fella.
Oh, he's doing okay, yeah.
He's going really well, isn't he?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah.
Who are you here with? You've got the family?
Yeah, the family's here, his brother and my wife and Jimmy English's mum and dad. So, yeah, it's a very good night, good win.
And he's loving it over there? You loving watching him from a distance?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Have you been to Melbourne much to watch him live?
Oh, yeah, we went at Easter time and I'm actually going over to the Anzac game on Tuesday.
Are you?
Collingwood? Yes, I'm a Collingwood supporter.
Are you really?
Yes, we're the soft spot for the Bulldogs.
Would never have guessed that.
Yeah, we did look a bit Collingwood, but Bill, once your kid's playing
somewhere. Exactly. He's got a soft spot for the Dogs.
Soft spot for the Dogs, but I support Collingwood.
And his kid is a star, by the way.
Legitimate.
Wow, that is unbelievable. Mm. And there's only one, Jim. There's a hands down number one. What do you got at number one, Bill? Thank you, Bill. Number one, hands down, our mate Bernie Vince. Oh, the worst question ever in a live interview.
Did you ever, in your wildest dreams ever think that this would happen? Like, the people here, the crowd, everything, even yesterday was so good, we were part of that. But I, just before we came here, I watched the footage for a bit, and they said, commentators were saying, we have not seen this in live golf in, well, I know it's the history doesn't go back far, but they have not seen this in live golf. Did you think you would be the best outing that they've had?
So that's Nick Haslam. He's asking that question, and he used to work with us at North Melbourne. He rang me and said, "Never send your junior burger to one of our press conferences again."
It was
like that's just humiliating.
Oh, mate.
Bill,
that is our man.
The
Bernie.
Worst question ever asked.
Who does Nuff Nuff? And he didn't put himself in.
Well,
Nuff Nuff.
And next week
he's got to.
He's going to have to.
I don't know if you heard this. This is a kid on Twitter. This went viral, Jim. It happened about 10 years ago. But just have a listen to this kid on Twitter. He's trying to ask a question and reminded us of someone.
Have you ever had a dream that you had you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Well, it's Bernie.
That's Bernie.
That's a better question than Bernie.
That's a young Bernie.
Yeah,
young
exactly.
Bernie. Oh, come on, Bernie.
You're better than that, Bernie.
There you have it. What do you got at number one, Bill? Oh, a late entrant.
Mm-hmm.
Just me old mate Jing again.
Yes. Come in and tell us about that.
That'll be nice.
But now it's time for some that's purposely done for your stupid segment. Idiot. Understand that?
You're getting an idiot file, you
that's
are.
It's purposely
Jim.
Done for your stupid segment.
Can't wait till Friday and the idiot Jim file.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Have you ever thought of those who don't get a car park underneath, like old Fat?
No.
Melbourne Storms, Harry Grant,
Rugby League.
Still to come. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill. And Rosie Walton is in the studio because we lost an entertainment icon over the weekend. Rosie?
I feel very underqualified to be joining you with this. Barry Humphries.
We all are, because we're talking about a legend.
Yeah, he died at 89. It wasn't really a surprise. We'd heard he'd been in hospital.
Had a hip replacement.
Yeah, and then something happened, like a complication, but he was surrounded by family, including his wife of 30 years, Lizzie Spender, his children, 10 grandchildren.
Gee.
He was born in Kew, went to Camberwell Primary. His career spanned 7 decades. How many people can say that? Yeah. It's just extraordinary.
So Kew and Camberwell.
Yep.
So how did the Moonee Valley come into it?
Moonee Ponds.
Moonee Ponds.
So he had a few characters.
Yeah.
So Barry was Barry,
yep.
Who was an actor,
yes.
Author, all that sort of stuff, but he had a few characters. So Dame Edna was the one that people would know
housewife.
The most. He
Moonee Ponds.
Yeah, had to write a backstory, but I read yesterday that she was actually originally born in Wagga.
Right.
And then moved to Moonee Ponds to become the household figure that we know.
So, you know, when Ricky Gervais gets up at the Golden Globes and all of that and just completely strafes the whole room.
Yes.
She started that.
Yeah.
She started hosting live events 20, 30 years ago and just giving it to everyone in the room.
Without peer.
No, exactly.
They call that satire. Do they?
Barry would be known as a satirist.
Yeah.
Because it was poking fun at Australian lifestyles. But then she sort of, the character turned on its head and became sort of a reflection of Australia to Australians.
Exactly.
So interesting.
Yeah.
But Barry was in other movies like Finding Nemo, Spice World, Immortal Beloved, Sergeant Pepper's, Ally McBeal, The Getting of Wisdom.
Cool.
So he had that aspect to him as well.
Right.
His TV and stage career took off when he moved to London in the early 60s. Mm. Like a lot of Australian artists, you have to go away before you're found.
Mm-hmm.
He befriended Dudley Moore, Peter Cook and Spike Milligan. So that's some
goodness.
Fine company
it
to start your
company.
Career.
Oh, yeah.
The TV shows for Dame Edna were mainly overseas. Like we didn't really have like a platform for her here.
No.
she had an audience with TV series interviewing celebrities. Warney was on it a few times.
Yep.
Boris Johnson, the Trumps, Robin Williams came on. You've got to look at it at these on YouTube because you have to see her as much as hear her.
Yeah,
so it was hard to find some grabs.
Yeah.
But it's what she didn't say that made things really good. I'm going to swap my grabs around, Rabsy. Sorry. KD Lang was a guest once.
Oh, remember this.
I never wander
run away from confrontations. My son Kenny, who made this design, this beautiful,
beautiful
dress.
Beautiful.
Well, he made some decisions, KD, and I embraced them as far as it was possible for me to do so.
Well, you're a liberal, loving woman,
I
is what
am,
you are.
I am, darling. I surrender to the love in my heart. And I don't think there's anything that two intelligent women cannot discuss. There's no taboo. I make no apologies for the words, for the terminology, perhaps the coarse terminology that I'm going to use now. When did you first know you were Canadian?
And KD Lang was one of the first people to tweet on Sunday with her, you know, immense warmth for that performer. Dame Edna was a regular guest on shows like Michael Parkinson, all of the American TV shows as well, but probably best known for her performances with Parky.
I never thought I'd catch on in America, and yet it's happened in a wonderful, wonderful way. In case you didn't know it, viewers, I am a very big star with our cousins across the Atlantic. And I didn't seek it. I was in the cemetery buffing up my husband's obelisk. Because there's very often, you know, he used to like me doing that when he was sitting.
One of the characters that didn't go on as long was Sandy Stone, sort of like an older gent. But the one that hasn't had a lot of...
Was it Sandy Stone? Righto.
There was Sir Les.
Or Lesmond. I loved him.
Watching it back hasn't aged well, but that's partly why a lot of people still love and remember Sir Les Paterson. He was a lecherous drunk and Australia's cultural attaché to the United Kingdom, chairman of the Australian Cheese Board. He was crude, unrefined, sexist and a drunkard. That was Barry's own words to describe his character. He joined Mike Willacy. I'm not sure if it was live on TV or perhaps not live, but I love how they were both sort of breaking character and were egging each other on.
How you handle being a friend of celebrities?
Well, what celebrities have you in mind? There's quite a few celebrities. Joan Collins is a personal friend of mine. She's a beautiful girl too. She likes perfume too. You wouldn't guess what she puts behind her ears to attract the menfolk. Her ankles.
Oh, come on, Les.
Well, it's 7:15. You with me? You're ahead of me, fella. Is this a dry run or is this going straight to air? Are we on delay? That's what I want to know.
If we're not on delay, I'm finished.
Oh, my God. No, that's back in like the Paul Hogan show days. They were a bit, things were different back then,
Fat. A bit ripe.
Things were a little ripe.
Totally different. Yep. And that's, we all loved that back then. And some of us still have a chuckle now. Some might.
No, but getting back to Dame Edna, what I used to love, Hosen, you're right. It's as much what she did without saying anything, of the words. Mm-hmm. Was that thing she used to do with her mouth?
Yeah.
And you just piss yourself laughing. Yeah. And then at the end of it, you think, well, what was I actually laughing at?
She just had comedic
timing genius.
If you can look up the one where Robin Williams crashed her set, that was particularly good. Look up Warnie.
Yes.
Incredible, brilliant. Incredible mind and a talent very much lost.
Well done, Hose.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Well, you know that I'm very polite and respectful
situations. No, you're not.
Ahead of their traditional Anzac Day clash against the Warriors, we're joined by Melbourne Storm's Harry Grant.
Harry Grant, he'll go on his own and score and tie the game.
Hugh Shallow as well. Grant goes for it. Brings us out, score and wins the game. Harry Grant wins the game with a try.
Yes, from Rockhampton, Jimmy boy, and then went to school at Yeppoon, debuted for the Storm back in 2018, Jim.
Fat. He's leading the Dally M.
Sold out game tomorrow night against the Who are they playing? New Zealand Warriors. Big, big game.
Fat. Well, this is the Brownlow of rugby league, and he's in the lead.
Shut up. Harry, welcome.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Hey, apparently you're leading the Daily M. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know who pays too much attention to it this time of year. But
I am. I'm paying a heap of attention to it, H.
Yeah, I don't know who's judging it, mate. They must be watching the wrong person.
You're going beautifully, and this is a massive game. We all obviously focus hard on Essendon and Collingwood, but straight after that, the Storm take on New Zealand, as Bill said.
Sold out.
It's sold out, and it's become a magnificent fixture.
Yeah, sold out, which is huge for us, and we spoke about it during the week. Majority of them will probably be Warriors fans. a lot of New Zealanders reside in Melbourne, and yeah, the Warriors are going well, so... yeah, they'll be coming out of the woodworks, but it's just awesome that it's a sellout crowd. And yeah, we get the privilege to play on Anzac Day, which is pretty special.
Exactly. It's great for the code. Sold out there at Amy Park tomorrow, 7 p.m. kickoff. I tell you what, Harry, we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of Storm this year, haven't we?
Yeah, for sure, mate. It's been a bit of a mixed bag, and I'm a rugby league roller coaster, but I think we've learned a lot of good lessons from the losses that we've had. And we put them into practice and won a few really hard games and against top teams. And, we sort of slipped off a bit last week against Manly. But, hopefully we can take a lot of lessons out of that again and, get back on the winning train.
Do you dive into the history of Anzac Day? And, does the club drive that or is that a player-driven thing? How do you prepare for this game?
Yeah, for sure. The club definitely drives it, and we're very privileged to get the opportunity to play on Anzac Day. Only four NRL teams get to play, and it's become a big fixture for us. And yeah, just being able to honour the servicemen and women, past, present, and future, and try and in a way play that as a rugby league player with the mateship and going out to battle. It never compares, but
no.
You can try your best to do so. And we also play for the Mick Moore Trophy, who was Mick was the original football manager who passed away on an overseas trip to New Zealand. So every game against the Warriors, we play for that. So we did a bit of a luncheon today, addressing the how special it is to play on Anzac Day and also for the Mick Moore Trophy. So I think all the boys have got plenty to play for, that's for sure.
Yeah. Don't go to the Shrine or something like that. The AFL clubs do it really well.
Yeah. Everyone who's new to the club or whether it's your first year or, first year at the club, visit the Shrine and, get to do a bit of a, history lesson and understanding of what it means and, what the Anzacs went through for us today.
Yeah,
so
great.
The boys went there on, all out of whack with the days, but they went there on Saturday. I think it's a pretty eye-opening experience for some of them.
Right. No, it's awesome. Love it. Now, I'm going to ask you, H, the same question we ask every single Storm player that comes on.
Yes.
When was the last time you saw Cam Smith?
I was watching the TV the other day.
He presented your cap to you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, actually, yeah. That was a few years ago now. Jeez, yeah.
A few years ago, 2018. Guess what, Jim? Didn't get many games for the Storm. So then he was loaned to the West Tigers, ended up playing really well with the West Tigers. Mm-hmm. They said, we want to keep this Harry Grant. And then Storm said, no, you're coming back here. It's just strange how you can let him to another team. It's a weird. Hey, where's your poon?
Next to your knife and fork.
Yes, got it. You
got it.
I just get the feeling that's not the first time H has heard that.
I reckon we asked
good
him
little,
last.
Good little alley-oop there. Yeah.
Hey, Craig Bellamy, of course, we all love him. And he was asked today, will this be the last Anzac Day match that he might coach? Have a listen what he said, Harry.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. We'll see about that.
Can we expect a decision maybe after the bye when you've had a bit of
Perhaps, yeah. I haven't had much downtime for a little while, so I'm not quite sure about that. So we'll just wait about tomorrow night.
Wasn't saying too much.
Not saying much there, H.
He doesn't let too much out of the big fight, does he? He's a very he's a very present person. He's someone that doesn't look too far ahead, but I think he's got a fair idea. I guess he'd have to have a bit of an idea, but you know, he's still got the same work ethic and hunger for success. So hopefully, hopefully it's not his last Anzac Day. Hopefully he goes again, but at the end of the day, it's up to the coach and see what he wants to do.
And still got the same.
I guess he does like his bank account. So when he sees that 1.8 hit it, he might go, oh, I might go another year for this.
1.8?
1.8. Wow. Well, he is the best.
And the rest. Man. Any downtime, he's doing vegan gigs left, right, and centre. But he's the tightest man on earth.
And he's still got that voice when you lose.
Yeah. But he still gets paid the same, so he's all right.
And now, beautiful Brooke, is she come down from Rockhampton with you?
Or your poon?
Yeah, you boys have been, what do you do? Stalk the Instagram
or
something?
Talking you.
She's too good for you, H.
Yeah, too good, but hey, you got to do what you got to do, mate.
Hey, we're looking forward to this because I think the last game got defeated by Manly, Jim.
I thought they would bring that up, Bill. Well, that's gone.
Well, we'll go and say well, and then just a little dip.
H is leading the Dally M.
Well, apparently. Yes. Apparently on 20 points already.
Yes, exactly.
I know we've mentioned it's a sellout, but the club have just found another 150 tickets.
Where?
So go to Ticket Tech and head along. 150 tickets have just been made available for this game tomorrow night.
Wow. All right.
Ticket Tech. There we go.
150.
Bellyache's just found them in his drawer and he's selling them. Hey, good luck, Harry.
Good luck, mate. Selling them.
Good luck. Fantastic. Mate. Tomorrow, 7 p.m. It'll be a beauty. Always is. And go the mighty Storm.
Cheers, boys. Look forward to seeing everyone there.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour on the Listener app and on your radio. Don't forget, from 7 o'clock tonight, we are live from the MCG, Melbourne versus Richmond, Anzac Day Eve. JB is going to be calling it with BT, Lee Montagna and Kate McCarthy on specials.
Speaking of the MCG, tomorrow, of course, the magnificent tradition of Essendon and Collingwood, the Big Duke, is going to be looking after it with Nath Brown, Kate McCarthy, Daisy Thomas. I think Robbo's going to be on the boundary.
Oh, it's still pissing rain.
No, it's going to be 25, Robbo.
Beautiful
day.
Come on, Robbo.
Tomorrow is going to be superb. So enjoy Anzac Day wherever you are.
Oh, it's pissing
rain. Robbo's good. It's 25.
Who wins, Jim?
I think Collingwood win.
I'm going Essendon.
Are you?
Jeez, my tips have been good too.
Have they?
On fire. Oh, fat.
Well, who wins tonight then?
Melbourne.
Righto.
They bounce back.
Melbourne
Big Gorney. He's back in, isn't he?
Big Gorney's back.
Yes, so they bounce back and then Essendon.
Now,
there you go.
The amount of, I've been talking about it, just been in Adelaide to do the live golf, and I reckon I was accosted by 4,000 Rush Hour fans.
With your aviators on.
3,800 of them said, Jim, why would you laugh? The jokes are garbage.
No,
and
Jim.
I said to every one of them, I said, well, how do I cop it?
Actually, I might ask you to leave.
If I laugh at something that's not funny, I look like a fraud.
You ask Hose.
She never laughs.
Have we spoken about this already? No. Because
what do you mean if we
the
spoken
feedback
about it?
Isn't good for yourself. People are off you.
Bill.
Because you don't laugh, you don't smile.
I've just had direct feedback from 3,500.
So you might have to leave the room.
Saying, why would you laugh if the joke's not funny? I said, mate, what do you think I'd do?
Five of the best last week.
No, they weren't.
And I can't guarantee this is one of the best.
All right, let's go then.
I've lost it.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Legends making legends at Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au.
Builders Academy back again for another week sponsoring the joke.
For punishment.
Legends making legends. Builders Academy. Buildersacademy.com.au. Bill?
Yep.
He hasn't got it, Freddie.
Hang on.
Not only is it a rubbish joke, he hasn't actually got it.
No. I have got a joke, but I just can't find it, Jim.
I find it.
That's the small premises, righto. Just talk amongst yourselves.
Bill, it's only 2 hours into the show. We always do a
Well,
joke.
I had it on my phone. It disappeared.
Yes.
Here we go. Oh, probably should have found another one. Right. The tomato family is walking along the street, Jim.
You have told this before.
Shut up. Baby tomato just falls behind a little bit, Jim. So daddy tomato goes back, smacks him on the head and says, Catch up.
Oh, my God. It's out of Pulp Fiction. It's actually the joke out of Pulp Fiction.
I haven't seen Pulp Fiction.
Oh, my God.
Is that where she puts a needle in the chest? Yes. Anyway, yeah, that'd be Pulp Fiction. Yeah. Rabs, now, you got a side here. This is interesting because you've been good last week.
He knows how bad that joke was. He knows how bad that joke was. So, Rabbits, hit the right button.
Rabs.
I'm torn.
No, you're not torn. You know that's crap.
You're the reward. Don't try. Old sad sacks. You're better than that.
No, he's not. No. That's the best he's been.
And that's saying something.
Catch up.
Bill,
did you understand?
Go back and watch Pulp Fiction. That's the joke she tells.
That's what the Americans call tomato sauce.
Yeah, no, we understand the joke.
I've got asthma. Oh, that's a Monday. Done.
Get that one out of your system, Pat.
Get the whole show out. We were better than last Monday.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been hard.
Triple M's Rush Hour, thanks to Bluebet. Get around Bluebet's all-new AFL Same Game Stat Wars. Pit superstar versus superstar in head-to-head battles every game. Download the app today. What are you really gambling with?